You've got a passion for the outdoors, a desire to feel the warm sun on your face, the sound of your fly line whipping through the air, the pop of the water as the fish inhales the fly you just found in the floorboard of your truck. You need to feel the cool waters on your feet, the crisp north breeze of a November morning, the sound of a turkey gobble, the December rut, the chills of an elk bugle in September. It's the longing passion to chase your obsession. This is what we share. This is what we preach. Welcome to Honey Hole Hangout.
Good.
Hey. Oh, I thought whoever's house we were in has to do the introduction and hellos.
Well, joke's on you, buddy, because we're not in a house today.
Oh, dang.
Oh.
Got you there.
The technicality.
Yeah.
You guys better read that RAF contract real close. Oh, for my technicalities.
Oh, man. Welcome to the Honey Hole Podcast,
Oh,
everybody.
There we go.
It feels weird.
It does feel weird.
I mean, I know I'll get used to it, but.
We get used to what?
I don't know, just changing people who say things.
We all say things.
Yeah,
though.
But who says the first thing?
I always
say. That's true. We were all kind of expecting
you to keep
me to chime
here,
in.
So I was like,
it just feels different because we're in a different place. We normally don't record here, so I'm just like a little out of my element.
He didn't know what to do. It went
I didn't
silent.
Know what to do, yeah. I was like, can I be the first one to talk? It's not my apartment. Should I let. You have the honor.
Okay. Well, I'm Zach, and we're here with Landon.
Hi.
And other Zach.
Hi.
And Stinky.
Hey. Don't call me Stinky.
Hey, I thought it was a cat's name.
No, it's my name too, apparently.
Zach has a very short list of names.
You see, I'm bullied in my own house.
Now I understand why you took it out on him the last time you were on the podcast.
Yeah, you know, it was...
Yeah, well...
It was an opportunity. I had to take it.
Karma's a bitch, Lucia. What's up, guys?
So, I guess we would just make the announcements first.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, I'm moving. Let's just get it out there.
That's... Oh, man. It's, you know, what do they say? Lead with something?
Where are you going to move to?
Lubbock, Texas.
Where are you going to prime fly fishing spot?
Yeah, where are you going to fish that one lake that they have?
Okay. No.
45 minutes away, too.
Oh, no.
So, check this out. Before you guys start being judgmental about fly fishing in Lubbock.
There are ponds.
The one in Cabela's?
Actually, you know what? They have more... neighborhood ponds than we do here. I will say that.
Those all, every blue dot is a playa lake, and every one of those has carp in it.
It's a what lake?
It's a playa lake.
Playa? A what?
Playa.
Playa?
Like playa, but...
Playa. I know playa, but like...
What is playa?
It's beach.
Ah, playa. Okay, got it.
So, they're...
No.
I don't think so.
No, it's... What?
I don't know. I think it's a geographical feature.
A playa.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it depends. Yeah. Are we talking? Hang on.
I don't know. I didn't do that well in geography.
Playa in Spanish is beach. P L A Y A.
Yeah, and it's playa, not playa.
Well, we're not in Argentina. We're in Texas.
Yeah, but I think in that region, the playa lakes are like a thing.
Yeah. Well, okay.
They
so
are.
What?
Okay.
What does
okay.
it mean?
I don't know.
Playa lakes. Are arguably the most significant ecological feature in the Texas High Plains.
Okay.
Even though they only cover 2% of the region's landscapes, playas are shallow, circular-shaped wetlands that are primarily filled by rainfall.
Oh, I can already feel it. It's like a marsh, kind of?
No, they're no. like...
They're super shallow. It's not like
not
a lake.
Big.
They're not
so
very
like,
big.
Like marshy, almost. Like,
I'm trying to find a thing. There, I don't even know if we have anything here that resembles it.
Are they constructed or are they natural?
No, they're natural.
They're natural.
Ooh, okay.
But
yeah,
Lubbock
cool.
builds around them. So like neighborhoods are built literally
nice.
Around these playgrounds of these lakes
yeah.
and these little ponds.
So that
around.
Being said, are they like accessible?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
there's parks all around.
Lubbock
okay.
is super easy to access the lakes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Ironic.
Right.
Yeah. And they're one is how Lubbock built around them for flood control because that's where all the water goes when it rains.
Interesting.
Because it's super flat. Number two, the Playa lakes are instrumental in birds' migration.
Okay.
And so that's why Lubbock is really a hot spot for like geese hunting and sandhill crane hunting, and a lot of bird migration goes through.
Is it geese hunting or goose hunting?
I thought it was geese's. It's definitely not geese's.
So,
gooses.
Geese's.
Geese's.
Is it geese's or geese's?
I thought it was Reese's pieces.
No, she says Reese's.
What?
What is the, what's in the little orange package that you like?
Reese's.
Reese's. It's
Reese
apostrophe S. That's Reese's.
Reese's.
You wouldn't say, you say Harris's or Parisia's.
Is it
right?
Siri or Surrey?
Oh, God. Here we go.
What?
Because like, McKenna calls it Surrey, and I'm like, no, it's Siri.
It Surrey?
But there's
it's
no U
Siri.
In it.
I know.
Well, neither does the word Sir. So I can see where she's coming from, but she's still wrong.
The word
like,
Sir does not have a U in it. Wow.
Right.
But we say it weird.
Yeah.
But if I went around saying, like, Sir, that'd be weird.
Is it Chipotle or Chipotle?
There's, it's not even spelled Chipotle.
Yeah. No.
Well, I have another family member that says Chipotle. So well, I'm just asking for clarification.
I've heard a lot of Texans also say Pedernales, not Pedernales. They say Pedernales.
Oh, yeah, but that's like half of our words here. Like,
yeah, because they are all Spanish, you tend to pronounce them wrong.
Okay, but it's they're not even spelling it. Like, they're phonetically not even saying it correctly.
It's German people saying Spanish words.
I guess.
Well, yeah.
Bernie, it's not spelled Bernie.
No.
How do you spell Bernie? It's
B-O-E-R-N-E.
How do you spell Bernie?
In Spanish? I don't have no idea. That's not a Spanish
so
word.
So how do you know it's not spelled right?
Because how do you say Bernie? I mean, it's written Bernie like that, and you pronounce it the same as the name Bernie.
Bernie,
which is,
B-E-R-N-I-E. Yeah.
Yeah. It's confusing.
I think that
what about
I do think that actually is a German word that they named.
Bear. What about Bear County? B E X A R.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What language is that from? That's got to be like some kind of Native American, like a native language, right? Bear.
I don't know. I don't want to be.
Well, it's
wrong.
Definitely not Spanish.
I don't worry about that. Yeah, no, I'm not going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that sounds right.
Well, there's nothing wrong like with that. It's definitely not Spanish, right? I don't think it is.
No, 100% not Spanish.
It's, I don't think it's German. It doesn't
I
look
don't
German.
Think so,
no.
It sounds very, because even Texas is a native word. It's not a Spanish word.
Right.
So, I mean, bear could be a native word, too.
Yeah.
Or at least a variation. Like, maybe it's changed over the years or whatever, but.
Well, isn't it like, didn't it used to be like Behar?
I think you're thinking Texas.
So, anyway, back to Lubbock. I am specifically looking at houses that are literally across the street from some of these parks that have playa lakes.
Nice.
So, I can literally walk across the street and wet a line, and there's bass and panfish. And it'll actually be easier for me to fish in Lubbock than it is here, because now I'm looking at least a 30-minute drive.
Yeah, you don't have to dedicate a day anymore.
I could go after work and wet a line for 30 minutes and see what happens. So I'm kind of excited about that because it's easier for me to go. It will be easier for me to go fishing in Lubbock. The downside is the variety. Like, I can't run down to the coast. Trout fishing, can't do that.
I mean, you can trout fish in 3 hours.
But I can go to New Mexico. I'm 4 hours away from trout fishing in New Mexico.
Yeah. See, that's cool. I think I'd rather be 4 hours from trout fishing in New Mexico than 45 minutes from trout fishing in the Guadalupe.
Me too.
I think.
But would you rather be 2.5 hours from saltwater or 4 hours from trout? I think I would take 4 hours from trout.
I think I would rather be 2.5 from salt.
Good.
Yeah, I think so. Because, and the reason for that is because, like, trout, okay, if you do it so much, eventually you're going to be like, man, I want something different, right? Maybe. If you do it, like, on a regular basis, whereas the coast, you could be like, all right, this time I'm going for redfish. Next time, I'm going to go look for jacks.
See, but the thing is, I love fishing for redfish, but I also love fishing for trout. So I don't think I'd live at the coast and, like, I'd fish at the coast more, but I'd still, like, probably do a trout trip every year.
Yeah, you would still miss trout, but at least at the coast, there's a variety of species you could chase.
I think I would rather trout fish regularly and then coast fish
occasionally.
Really?
But I'm more of a trout bum by heart. Like,
okay.
that's also because, like,
nerd.
Like, when I go saltwater fishing, though, like, it's just like, it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy doing it twice a year. Whereas, like, if we lived close enough to, like mountain streams and stuff like that, like, I would go every
week. That's interesting because I'm opposite. Like, I would rather live on the coast and go, which I don't go as often as I'd like to. But if I live down there, hell yeah, dude.
Really?
Like, yeah, I'd rather do that.
Well, I mean, that's like...
I think it's the style of fishing, though, that I like. Not necessarily the species. But, like, that type of... You know, sight casting redfish. I like to sight cast, hence the carp
and see, I like
obsession
more like,
recently.
Like, tromping through, like, creeks and woods and, like, exploring that. And then, like, fishing, like, really, really skinny water.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of figuring it out. Whereas, like, sight fishing is exciting, but it's... I don't know. It's not something I have to do all the time.
See, I think I like the pressure behind it, where it's like, oh, there it is. Like, it's time to make it happen.
A little more like hunting. Like, yeah. Ooh, here we go.
A hunter at heart.
Which is weird, because hunting's, like, not my gig.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lubbock.
So you're moving.
Yeah,
when are you moving?
June is when I start my job in Lubbock.
Nice.
Which I'm doing the same job I'm doing now. I'm just doing it in Lubbock.
So, also, as people are listening, that does not mean the podcast is stopping in June.
Yeah. We actually just had a long talk about this.
We did.
Uh-huh.
Honeyhole is here to stay.
In
fact,
some alterations here
right.
and there.
Yeah, like we, you know, but in fact, I think that we can all agree that in a couple of weeks, we are going to go back to a
weekly
format. We're also going to go back to, if you've been a listener for a long time, more of that structure where for a set number of minutes, we're going to do this. Then we're going to move to a topic for the episode. We're also going to try to shoot for a shorter episode, maybe around an hour, and really hone in on one topic per episode. And so if we have a guest, it'll be...
And if we have a guest, it's only going to be the guest.
Yes.
And if it's just us, it's going to be shoot the shit and then a specific topic.
Yeah.
So... That being said, if anybody has any topics, and I'm not talking like how to tie a palomar knot, but like a topic like fishing the Guadalupe for rainbow trout, or if there's anything out there you want to hear us
fishing the Playa Lakes of Lubbock for carp.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. Hey,
give me some time to figure that out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
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 But yeah, if you guys have any topics you're interested in it.
Right.
Too much caffeine. Let us know. Send us a message.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
But I'm excited for some changes.
Me too.
For, you know, a little spring cleaning, get some things.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah.
Got through the fogginess, and now we're back to clear skies.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. But with me moving, there'll be maybe some other changes coming too, but the podcast is going to remain and move forward. So, 100%. With that being said, let's talk to you. You won something recently that's very interesting.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. I figured that he was just going to have to give it to you, and it's your rod now, right?
Yeah. We shared custody, but I'm the mom, you know? Yeah.
So you get the week, and he gets the weekend.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I like that.
That's not how we did it. I only got it on the Wednesdays.
Oh, I like that. Weekends, that's when we do all our fishing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, by some stroke of luck, I brought home a Helios the other night.
So what happened? How did you win it?
I casted it at Trout Fest. And I asked Josh at Trout Fest, I said, hey, I want to cast to Helios. What do I have to do? And I don't know if this is really what you had to do or not, but he told me, oh, you just have to sign up. So I signed up. And then it didn't go through. Well, I don't know if it went through or not because I have bad service at L&L, so I signed up twice. I don't know if that made a difference.
Did that increase your odds?
I don't know. I don't know how it
works. You doubled your odds.
I have
no
idea. Hey, nobody said you couldn't do that.
That's true. In fact, I think I was told to do that.
Yeah. So
if you weren't doing that, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Somebody's over there, like, rapid fire. 100 logging. Yeah. But, yeah, I got a Helios. It's pretty cool.
I don't think
I ever would have bought one. Maybe.
No.
Probably not. It's a pretty high-dollar rod.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
And I, like...
Why wouldn't you? What are your reasons that you wouldn't buy one?
I just told you.
Just straight up money.
It's an expensive rod.
Okay.
I'm broke.
Yeah, no, no. I mean, that's a good reason.
Yeah. Yeah. But I will say, so I've casted it. I haven't fished it yet. I've casted it. By the time people are listening to this, I'll have fished it. But I casted it, and holy shit. Like, when they say it's an accurate rod, I'm pretty impressed. It's pretty amazing.
What line, when you casted it, was on the rod?
Whatever was at the Orvis booth. Well, oh. I casted it at Trout Fest, and then once I found out I won, I casted a couple other models.
Because you got to pick which one you wanted.
Mm-hmm. I got to pick. And then we casted it the other day when I brought it home. That's the only line I can tell you. It's an MPX. Scientific Anglers, the MPX.
That's a good line.
The Mastery, I think.
So MPX. Is that the line that you're going to put on it?
I don't know, man. I don't know. And here's my problem. So we have the main rivers. So first off, I got it. I'm going to use it for carp because I figured if I'm going to get a nice rod, I want to use it as much as possible. So I'm not going to get a 10 weight. I'm not going to get an 8. I got a 6. I thought about it, but I didn't. I got the 6, and I'm like, all right, there's two main places that I go for the carp, and that's Guadalupe and Pedernales, right? Guadalupe is covered in shade, so the water is typically a little cooler. Mm-hmm. Pedernales, at least where I go, is not covered in shade, and it's shallow, so the water is typically warmer. So I'm like, in this weird balance, like, what line do I get?
Are you talking about, like, tropical or cold water?
Yeah.
I don't think it matters either way here because we're not on the extreme. I think it only matters on the extreme. I think no matter what way you go, tropical or cold water, because I've fished both in all situations, like, around here, and I've never had a problem with either. I think if you're, like, in Belize and it's, like, humid and warm, like, all year, yeah, you want a tropical line. You don't want a cold water line.
So which way would you lean? Like,
I would
factoring in air temperature, too.
I personally go more towards the trout all water line for, like, my 6 weight, and I don't think it's causing an issue. That being said, I am definitely not a line nerd. Like, I fish the lines I like, and I don't really experiment too much with them.
I'm normally the same way, but so
he's not.
My other 6 weight line, it's the MPX, right? So it's a trout line. Mm-hmm. It's not a tropical line. It's a trout line. And we went to the Ped a lot last year.
Yeah.
And we were going in the middle of summer, and you guys know how summer was last
year.
Yeah. It was hot.
Yes.
And that line, it looks like somebody's taken a razor and, like, scooped out pieces.
But that is even before we started going in the summer.
Was it?
Yeah, because I remember I realized one time we were in the Guad before we went to the Pedernales.
Well, I've had it longer than I've known you, so.
Yeah.
Who knows, you know, maybe.
Yeah. But I don't think it happened because of the hot summer last year, you know. That's what I mean.
No, I know that. I'm just saying, like, it almost, because I've never had that happen before. It's not like gouges, like I hit it on a branch or something. It looks like pieces were scooped out. So I wonder if it softened up in the hot weather and was less resistant to abrasion.
I doubt that's what happened. A lot of times what happens is with the fly lines in the wrong temperature is that they don't bend the way that they need to bend. So when you're casting it, it's like clunky or...
I have definitely experienced taking
like
a warm water line and it not performing well because it was like 60 degree day or 70 degree day. You know what I mean? Like, I've definitely experienced that.
See, I have a 6 weight Flats Pro in here. Mm-hmm. I've used it at the coast, but I have not used it here. And I'm thinking, like, I think it's probably too cool here to use it, especially being a monocore. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's monocore.
Because think about the temperature of, like, the bait. Like, even, like, the even the water temperature, though, on the Pedernales never gets as warm as, like, the ocean water does.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, okay. I think that's a good point. I might go.
Yeah.
All right, Josh, if you hear me,
well,
set that Orvis Pro aside.
Going to the shop tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll see it.
I was going to give you another recommendation if you were going to go a different... If you decide to go a different route,
say intermediate.
No.
Clear water line.
No.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't.
I have one of those in my shop.
Yeah, and why do you want to get rid of it?
Because I don't use it.
Yeah.
it's still in the box.
Since I stopped riding around on glitter boats, I don't think I've thrown my sinking line once.
Yeah. I don't think we mentioned this, but you got the 6F.
Yeah. Wait, go back. What were you going to recommend, line?
I was going to recommend, I think you can get a bone fish line and a 6-weight, and if you're mainly looking at to use this rod for carp fishing, I would look at getting a bonefish line.
See, that's what I was thinking too, but then we're back to the tropical thing.
I really don't think it's going to be an issue unless you winter fish here.
Really? Okay. Well, maybe because I was thinking about just doing like the Rio bonefish.
But the other thing is that I told you if you're going to come to Patagonia next year and we go on that floating trip that we want to go, you're probably going to need a 6-weight. So you probably need a trout line for that.
Yeah,
too.
But that's like in a year. So I can buy another line.
Yeah,
later.
I would say, I would say just get a different line for that.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about locally right now because I don't want to go. I hate changing lines on reels, and I'm not going to buy
another
spool.
So you're going to buy another spool?
No. Well, no, that's what I was trying to find. Yeah. So
you wanted like one line for all.
So here's
that doesn't exist.
Here's the problem. Yeah, I know it doesn't. But here's the problem. So I would just take what I've already got and fish it. But Lou either has a 5-weight or a 7-weight. And she wants to use a 6 when we go for carp. So now that I've got the bag and I've got the Helios, I've got 2 reels. I just need one more 6-weight line.
But I can
that's
use
why
my
I'm having
5-weight.
What's your other 6-weight line?
We've discussed this.
No, wait, no, tell me. What is it?
The MPX.
The MPX. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
we literally just discussed this.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, then get a try. I'm telling you, if you're wanting like that rod to be like a carp stick laser, look at a bonefish
line. That's what I was going to do. And then I got into my own head and I overthought, like, maybe I should really.
It's really.
I feel like
it's really not that hard.
Getting
just
a new line,
it's kind
of like getting a new mattress. It's like you're gonna have a lot of people tell you a lot of opinions, but at the end of the day, it
Do
really
you know
doesn't
this
matter.
Guy?
Hey, no side conversations over here.
You have no idea how long it took him to decide to go for the 6F.
Oh yeah, I went
like
back
2 weeks,
and forth.
Right?
Yeah, because
oh dude, I could have called that would have been your rod like before you even like if I was like if Zach won like 3 weeks ago if you'd asked me if Zach won a rod. What rod in was a Helios? What rod would he get? 6F, 100%.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, dude. Yeah. The 6F is freaking sweet. So for those of you listening, the difference between the F and the F is more of a delicate, delicate. It presents a more delicate cast, whereas the D is it's got a little more backbone,
it's a powerhouse,
a little more strength to cast into the wind and
so
stuff. Heavier.
So the F is gonna bend more. It's gonna load up easier, and it. Since it bends more, you have a slower line speed. So slower line speed means a softer presentation on the water. And so that's what you're going to be looking for. And that's why I think a bonefish line would be good for you is because they're made for, like, delicate presentations on the...
And that was my original thought. I was telling Lou.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is when I was trying to decide between the D and the F, I was, like, looking at videos. In this, most of the videos out there of the H3.
Yeah.
Because... The 4 is still kind of new. Anyway, I found a guy, and I think it was actually Sean Combs, which is, I think that was his video, which he's the guy that designed.
He designed
them, right?
The rods, yeah.
He was saying, like, you know, if I'm in more, like, a delicate situation, I don't know if that's the word he used. He was like, but I'll go with the F, that way I can really present a nice dry fly, and if I'm casting streamers or really beating banks, a lot of casting, I get the D. He goes, but... Let's say I have the F, but I want to beat banks and cast streamers. It does that just fine.
Yeah.
But if I want to cast a dry fly, the D does that just fine. So you can really use them both in any situation. Like, that just screwed the whole situation there.
Oh, yeah. They're
it
like,
did not
well,
help.
Give me the answer I want.
Well,
yeah.
Well here,
like, you can use them for both things, but this is what it excels in. But it still does this really well. I'm like, then what the fuck is the point of having two different rods?
Well, here's the thing, is that, number one, you can change the fly line. So... You know, you can overload a D and make it flex more and have slower line speed. You can cast a D with a soft presentation by manipulating your own personal cast. And you can add a lot of line speed to an F by, like, double hauling and getting that line speed up. So, like, you can take those rods, like, if there's an overlap, maybe there's 70, 80% overlap, and then you have the 20% extremes on either side. So, like I don't think either way is a bad decision.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty happy with my choice.
I mean, if you were looking at
Me
a 6-weight for the coast, I would say probably get the D. That would probably be the, like, if you're carp and I'm like saying, okay, let's do the F. If you're taking it to the coast, maybe the D is a good option.
Well, dude, on a calm day though, that F will do just fine.
Yeah,
And I don't think in a windy day you're gonna have an issue with it.
Actually,
if it's windy, you're probably gonna pull the 8 out anyway.
Well, actually, we were so when I casted it at the store. well, and at Trout Fest, but at the store, and when we went and cast the other day, we were casting Into the Wind, and it was like, honestly, pretty impressive.
The F, it cuts through. It's still going to do a pretty good job.
I mean, it's still a fast action rod.
Yeah.
It's not like, it's not glass. So I think, the D will be better if it's really windy, but it's not like you're not going to be able to do it with this.
Yeah, it's not like you're at the coast every day.
I think you're the best rod choice, specifically for what you like to fish for the most here, you know?
Yeah. I called it. Like 3 weeks ago, I called. I was like, he's going to win a Helios.
And
he's going to get a 6F.
You can take that rod to the lower guard for trout fishing, and you can still do just fine with that, too.
That's another thing I was thinking, because I'm going to go to Patagonia at the end of the year. Like, what if I want to fish streamers, I'll take that and use that for streamers.
Well, oh, you can even do dry flies.
That floating trip, it's like basically only streamers. And big trout, there's no small trouts in that river. So.
Well, anyway.
That's cool. I'm excited for you. Like, thanks, I was waiting for one, like, somebody to get the new Helios, so I'm glad it's you.
Our group has been winning. Ty won the Helios 3
at the Iron Fly.
Drawing at the Iron Fly.
Yeah. So I don't win stuff like this very
poor,
often.
Poor guy won right before the Helios 4 came out.
I don't think he's complaining.
I don't think he cares. No. The Helios 3 is still a slick rod. And for any of you guys out there that want like a really good rod, like look for Helios 3s on sale now because
Helios
4 is out, so some people might be trying to get rid of their 3s, and you could probably get them at a pretty good deal.
Yep. And if you guys want to cast them, you can go into the Orvis store. And if you're local San Antonio, they just take you out to the parking lot up front. You can cast whatever rod you want.
Can we start calling it H4? Because, I just don't want to say Helios the whole time.
Yeah, H4 sounds good.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's coin that. Honey Hole said it first.
H4.
Actually, probably not. A lot of people probably say it already.
Yeah. However, it was cool when it was H3 because it's like Honey Hole Hangout, H3.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. That's pretty cool. Right. Okay.
Yeah, but not anymore.
Should get some.
So how would we change our name to H4? Like, what would we add?
Honey Hole Happy Hangout.
Or we could get a hookah, Honey Hole Hookah Hangout.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway. You also won raffle.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody's winning raffles these days.
It's kind of nice. I don't win much, but when I do, I already own the product.
You're lucky, but not that lucky.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah. So what happened?
It was the Rainbow, our Alaska Rainbow Lodge at Trout Fest, and they're giving away a Yeti Pinga, the 28 backpack, waterproof, and it had like some other gear in it, stuff too, like some Bubba pliers and nippers and stuff. And so, three days later.
You already have one, so you're trying to sell it.
I already have the exact same backpack.
Go ahead and let everybody know.
If you are interested in my back in the Yeti Pinga 28 backpack, it is the normal gray color.
Ugh.
Please reach out to us because I will make a great deal for you. I promise. It'll be a fantastic deal. You'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely doing that.
I'm curious. You don't have to say the cost, but how many tickets did you buy?
None.
Oh, it was free?
Yeah, it was a raffle. It was a sign-up. No, sorry, it wasn't a raffle. Like the H3
Interesting.
Or H4.
Sign up for my email list, and then you'll be entered in this raffle.
Did you sign up on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Every event we go to, you and I need to walk around for at least an hour.
And just sign up for everything?
Yeah, because we both came home.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm glad I won anything. Like, it's cool. Like, when they emailed me, I was like, no way. That's really cool. And then I was like, oh, they didn't like it's not a trip to Alaska. It's, you know, the backpack I already got. That being said, I'm really happy. I'm really thankful to the Rainbow Alaska Lodge. It's cool to win anything, you know. Even had just been, like, the nippers and pliers. Like, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
So. Well, not anything. It's not cool to win just anything. Where is it at, Lou?
I think it's in the bedroom.
And I am not talking shit necessarily. It was just funny because I had, at this point, I already knew about the Helios, right?
Uh-huh.
I already knew that it was coming to me. We went to the Alamo Anglers Fly Fishing Film Tour showing.
Oh, gosh.
I won something there.
What'd you win there?
I won.
Was it the
and
big rug?
No. It's cool, I guess. It's a koozie that looks like a puffy jacket.
Hey, you know what? That's something.
No, I know. It's something. It's cool.
It was fun, though, there was a Yeti bucket.
Yeah, there was a Yeti bucket, like Costas and a reel.
There was Costas.
There were
like
Smith
a pair of
glasses.
Smiths.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And
there
I went this.
A line, a six-weight line,
oh.
Right?
Yeah, there was actually.
There was a six-weight line, a scientific angler, six-weight line. And he won the koozie.
Yeah. Is it cute?
Well, you can't be too lucky, right? Yeah. So, like, you won the Helios, which is like,
honestly, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That, yeah. Really, like.
And then it's like, okay, let's bring it down a
you
notch.
You can't be too lucky.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But so, if anybody wants to buy a puffy jacket koozie, reach out to us.
Does it make your beer look warm?
I don't know. I think it's still on the cardboard.
Makes
I think
it look warm, probably, because it's a puffy jacket.
I have to see this. I can't even. Let me see
if
I can find
it. Looks like they look like if you made a puffy jacket for a squirrel.
You want to cut me?
Yeah, it's like that.
No?
What?
You want to cut me real quick? I'll go find the koozie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like if you cut one of the extremes, I could put it to the cut. For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen them. They sell them like at REI and Eddie Bauer and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a fancy koozie.
Yeah.
But having a six-way line there.
And like, I need another koozie.
Yeah.
I have like 1,000 already and picked up like 4 more at Trout Fest. So.
Yeah, we have a lot too. So yeah. It wasn't something that we were very excited to get, but whatever. Yeah.
It's definitely like... I guess a cool story, I guess. Like, yeah. I won this koozie that looks like a puffy jacket.
Yeah, and the thing...
I would never buy it, yeah. But...
And the thing is that he is competitive. So he was like, I need that Yeti bucket. He was like very, very committed to the competition of the raffle. So
yeah.
When he won the koozie, he was like, really?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Zach, what else have you been up to lately?
So, I did that. I came in 4th place in our weight loss competition at school. I've been in 3rd the whole ride. I was going to get some money, and I got in 4th place.
How much money were you going to win in 3rd?
$30. Which I already won $30 because I was in 3rd place like a couple weeks ago. At like we had like check-ins. So 3 weeks there was a check-in, 6 weeks, and then this
was this like a teacher thing?
Yeah. You know. And so, like, you know, teachers who want to sign up for it, they call it the Biggest Loser competition. And
how far away were you from first place?
Probably a pound. I think I was, like, half a percentage point away.
Oh, it so, was that close? It was
oh,
that
it was
neck
like
and
a-
neck?
Yeah, like, so I lost 18.5 pounds over the last 9 weeks, and the person who beat me, he had lost 23 pounds, but our percentages were really close. I think I had, like, lost, like...
Oh, they did a percentage.
They do it by percentage. That way it's more fair across the board because,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like, hey, well, this person has so many more pounds to lose, so, like, it's easier for them
percentage
to do that.
Percentage of your weight. Okay.
Right.
Got
so
it.
You yeah, yeah. Do it by percentage instead. And so I've been in 3rd place the entire time until this time. I dropped to 4th. So, but I still got my money back because you had to pay $30 to enter.
Oh, okay.
And
so
I got my money
more,
back,
yeah.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. And so it would have been cool to get.
What is this?
I might, now that I look at it, I might use it just because it's funny.
It is hilarious.
It's super
funny, right?
They make ones like arms, too.
Yeah.
You know?
I bet
yeah.
This would actually keep it colder than
a
normal
koozie.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's
think
more
it,
functional.
You think it actually has down in it?
No, but this like lining right here, I think
oh,
it's
yeah,
going to reflect and keep the cold in better. And then you have little finger holes to hold your.
Yeah, your fingers get cold.
Well,
isn't that the point?
Yeah, let's see it.
Oh, nice I will color. Say, though, thank you, Alamo Anglers. I'm not talking shit, I promise. It was just a funny.
No,
funny
they
situation.
Had a lot of prizes.
Yeah, yeah, it was actually.
And a lot of people won. Like, it was a
was,
good percentage of prizes
I was
with the people.
Pretty
so
impressed.
It was a movie night, right?
Yeah, it was Fly Fishing Film Tour. I was pretty impressed with the turnout. One, because I didn't think. You know, I don't know why I thought this. I just didn't think San Antonio, like, would pull through on that. I don't know why. Maybe because Trout Fest was, like, 2 weeks prior. But actually, John was there. Mm-hmm. Well, let me back up. Trout Fest had the film tour showing, too. So that's why I was like, okay, I don't know if people will double dip. But John was there, and mm-hmm. he said they actually showed different films.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Interesting.
That the films were different.
Huh.
Yeah.
So I went to the one at Trout Fest, and I mean, granted, I had, like, a soccer thing last Friday, but still, like, I had no...
Yeah.
No,
I didn't watch the ones at Trout Fest, so I have no idea. But
yeah. I like the ones at Trout Fest this year, but I'm curious why they would show different ones if it's supposed to be the same
thing. Now, maybe he just... Now, so there was a slight technical issue, so maybe they were out of order. They didn't... Like, the tech that was running it, like, accidentally, I think he put the second half first and the first half second. So maybe the order.
There's an intermission,
like,
for sure.
Yeah. Well, at the end, Anyway, yeah, they were out of order. Anyway, so maybe that's what it was. I don't know, but he said there were different films. And some of them were pretty good. Some of them were...
Some of them get a little of the same. You know
well,
what I mean?
Not even that. It was actually... There was... I don't want to say too many
words.
You don't say too much.
Yeah.
They weren't my favorite, I'll say that. But there was one that like got me hyped up to go steelheading. I don't even have a plan to go steelheading. I will, though, after that. That was like a good video.
Was there one about the car?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, there wasn't one about a car.
The car was, me and you saw at Tailwaters that one time, the one with all the stickers on it?
Oh, yeah.
Nope. This was like, there was like
the Drake car.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was two steelhead videos. One of the Padilla family.
That was Trout, not steelhead.
No, I know. I was saying
they're the same thing.
Yeah,
but
in addition to the steelhead videos.
If you guys read that book, you would learn. But go on.
If you read the book, you would learn.
There was a peacock bass video, two steelheads, trout, peacock bass, triple tail actually.
There was not a triple tail video.
It wasn't really an informative video on triple tail. It was more of a somebody's first triple tail experience. Video.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a better way to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was more showcasing like this person going from like fishing rivers to catching their first saltwater fish, and they really wanted to catch a triple tail, but it didn't really tell you about the triple tail, like, or the road to get, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
It was good, though.
Yeah.
I liked it. Good job, Alamo Anglers. They did fantastic. It was
tarpon in Brazil, too.
Yeah. Oh, and bonefish. Yeah, and actually, so I will say it was at Confluence, which was another thing I was a little skeptical about, like being at a city park.
Oh, they didn't have it, like, at their shop.
No, it was at the Confluence Park. And actually, dude, it was pretty legit.
Nice. Like,
it was pretty cool.
I wish I could have gone.
Yeah.
Speaking of films... The Real Recovery film that we made is going to be on YouTube soon. So all the listeners, me and Grant had a discussion about it because we were looking at some options on what we could do with it. And we just decided, you know what, because a big factor of this was that we missed the deadline for some other stuff, so we'd have to sit on it for a year. But also that Real Recovery, I'm getting a lot of messages that they want to use the film, and I've been giving access for Real Recovery to use the film for their purposes, but it'll just be easier if it's just
out there.
Cool.
So
cool.
It will be posted probably by the time that this podcast comes out, our film about Real Recovery will be posted to the YouTube channel.
Very nice.
Sweet.
So
I held a camera a little bit during that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of my
I don't know. Have we really talked
it?
About the film in the podcast?
Not really, because we haven't podcasted that much since the film became like a real living thing.
So just a short kind of what happened is that myself, Grant with Hill Country Flyworks, Zach Harris, and with some help from Mike Torres, we, at a Real Recovery retreat, we filmed the whole weekend and made I think it's about 12 minutes long, a 12-minute basically like short film about the retreat. And it's really informative and takes you kind of through what a retreat looks like kind of in order, but also the relationships that are made by the participants that go on the retreat and the relationships with the fishing buddies on the retreat. And so if you guys... I know we talk about Real Recovery a lot, and if you haven't been a part of it, it's hard to imagine what it's like, but this makes it kind of close. You kind of get an idea, a visual picture of what the retreats look like and why we hype them up so much and always volunteer with them and love doing it so much. So, and why we did the Iron Fly and raise money for it. So if you guys will go to our YouTube channel, then I'll link it in the description of the podcast too if I remember to, but... you guys can go to the YouTube channel when this podcast comes out, and that will be live up there.
Which, jumping to another subject, kind of. So it was about, we're coming up on a year since we filmed that.
Yeah, because we filmed it in the spring.
Right. You know what else we started talking about right around that? It's the Iron Fly. I think it might be time to start thinking about
what the next iteration might
look
like.
Year two.
Yeah, I'd like to do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
everyone's
expected.
Yeah, everyone's been telling us when are you guys going to do that again? I do want to do it again. I have known that I am probably going to be moving now for about 3 or 4 months. And so I've been kind of like not, I've been intentionally not trying to plan things, knowing that this was on the horizon. But like now that I have a date, I can move, get settled. And then at that point.
Well, the cool thing is you're moving, but Zach and I will still be here.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have all of the, we have contacts with all of our original
people who donated and helped out and people who competed too. Like we have all their stuff, you know?
Yeah. I think the plan is, and we had maybe talked about this when we kind of recapped the event and talked about what we thought. I think what we need to do for the next one is have a committee and kind of go at it that way and probably meet like once a month and get stuff done and make it just a little bit. It was a little bit, the last one was a little bit ragged on the planning side. And I think if we just kind of clean up that efficiency with what we already know, it will be super easy to plan.
Yep, and have
and
very
run.
Clear, distinct roles and who's doing what. Yeah, I think that's the right way to do it.
I think that's what we need to clean up.
But
is all the planning and everything, not the event itself.
I would say the chances of it, you know, round two, I think we're at like a 95%.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
If not higher.
But like, I think we're pretty set. It probably will not happen again in October.
Probably do it spring of 2025.
Right. So like around a year.
Because we want to move it to the spring, like get past Trout Fest, because so much happens in October. A lot of people couldn't come because of conflicting events. And we also, it was planned for the same day as Fowler's anniversary party, and we definitely don't want to do that again.
No.
Because we want Fowler's party to be a blowout. Because
we
want to
go to that, too.
And we want our party to be a blowout. We don't want people to have to make a decision on what event they want to go to.
Right.
Anyway, so I think we're going to move it to, like, April, May, and do it that way.
Yeah.
We should try to maybe try to do it a little bit earlier, like March. That way we can use our profit's not the right word, winning is not the right word, our donations to benefit both of the year's retreats. Just a thought. We don't have to talk about that now, but.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Anyway.
I see what you're saying. We went to Trout Fest. We haven't recorded since Trout Fest. No, a featured fly tyer.
Got your own board?
You got your own board?
Yeah, it's hanging on the fridge. Not really. It's I put it on Lou's tying desk.
Yeah, because she needed a photo of you to look at when she ties.
Yeah, and she could see like half a carp.
Yeah.
You can see.
I couldn't even see his face because he put the carp on his face.
Fish pictures are not about the face that caught them. They're about the fish, lady.
The fish face.
Yeah, the fish face.
He doesn't even,
ironically,
I cannot even see the fish face
fish
in
face.
That.
Well, you can thank Mr. Wu for that. Sorry, Odom. I don't know if Odom made those or not, but yeah. Landon brought up a topic to talk about, then he left the room.
Well, then I will talk about, I went fishing last weekend.
Yeah.
I caught 3 panfish.
All right.
All about 4 inches, 5 inches.
So you got
long.
Your PB?
No.
No?
No, unfortunately not. But, however, I hadn't caught a panfish this year, so that was exciting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right? Actually, you know what? I think that might have been the first fish I caught this year.
Yeah?
Yeah, really? I just haven't been. Well, no, I went with you, but we didn't see anything.
Yeah, no, we didn't see Jack. Mm-mm. I think, so I caught a carp last weekend. That wasn't my first fish, though. I caught some trout. Mm-hmm. Nothing sizable, nothing worth bragging about. But yeah. I caught a handful of trout back in January.
Yeah, I definitely get excited when the water starts warming up because that's my jam. Like, I can be fishing, and in, like, 30 minutes, I can be fishing for bass and carp as well. But, again, I feel like I'm bad luck for carp.
What about Lou? You catch any fish recently?
I caught a bass, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah?
On a three-weight glass.
That's right. You had a good little fish, right?
Yeah, and it was in a three-weight glass. So it was fun.
Ooh,
yeah. What three-weight glass?
The badass glass.
No, it was not.
Oh, no. That's your claim. It's your rod, my rods. It's the same, you know.
No, it's not.
It's all right.
My rods are my rods and your rods are
my
rods. That's
your
the way
Helios,
it works.
My Helios. You know how it works. No, it's a three-weight butter stick.
Yeah.
A butter stick's cool.
It is cool. It is cool. And you get a nice bend with everything, basically, which makes it fun. And last weekend, while he caught a carp, I caught a sunfish that
You did?
Spook my carp away. Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got carp blocked?
You got carp blocked.
Yep.
Yeah. At least it wasn't with a mirror like mine.
Yeah, he has a trauma with that.
I've told the story. I don't remember what episode it was on. I don't want to revisit those feelings.
How many times a week do you wake up in the middle of the night just like nightmarish state thinking about that?
Every time I look in a mirror.
Yeah. Every time you say mirror, he's like, that mirror carp. Like I'm talking about the mirror of the bathroom.
I'll get it one day. Someday. I didn't see it this time.
Yeah.
It wasn't there. Anyway, have you done any fishing? What did you do at Trout Fest? You brought up a conversation, then you left the room.
Yeah. Did you hang out? Did you have fun?
Oh, yeah, I had fun. I went for Saturday only for the day.
I know it was weird. We were camping out there, and, like, nobody was camping out with us.
I know. Just that was not my intention. That's just how it turned out. So that was actually my first weekend off after, like,
6 weekends, 7 weekends in a row?
No, I think I had worked, like, 27 or 28 days in a row or something because that hailstorm. So it was like I was exhausted, but
I think the one thing that sticks out to me about Trout Fest, I thought it was funny, right? And it was mainly on Saturday, but I guess I hyped up and talked about my new vice so much since October.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand how many people came through and was like, "Hey, you got the vice!" I'm like, man,
that's hilarious.
Did I really talk about it that freaking much, man? That's my highlight from Trout Fest. Look at it though.
So speaking of the vice, now that you've been tying on it for a while, what are your impressions of it versus your last vice? Was it worth
like
the expense?
Night and day. Now, granted, my last vice, like, all right, if you have something every day, like you don't really notice the decline of its life. You know what I mean? So it's like if you have a like your vehicle. Like, you drive it every single day. So, as it gets worse, like, you kind of forget about how it was when you first got it. And you see what I'm saying? But you don't realize how bad it's really gotten. That's kind of how my old vice was. Like, I thought it was great until I got on this thing.
Yeah.
And so, why? What's the difference there? Like, what's the greatness difference that you're talking about?
It just holds hooks so well. And it's easy. It's easy to set up the vice to a hook. Whereas my old one, No, I'm not going to say what it was because I don't want to sound like I'm bashing a brand or anything. The old one was really difficult to set, I guess because of the angle of the jaws. It was difficult to set a hook in there straight and like, especially.
And for it to hold under pressure.
Well, even holding wasn't a big deal. It held hooks fine, but getting that hook to sit in the grooves on the jaws nicely was really hard. With the Dynaking, for those of you that don't know, I'm sure you do, it's Barracuda Deluxe, and it's really easy to find the sweet spot. Incredibly easy, and you barely have to adjust the vice, I'll be honest with you. Now, granted, I tie on, like, three different hooks recently, but, it's sweet, man. Look at her.
She looks good.
Look at my vice next to it.
Yeah. Yeah, look at her, if that's what you want to call it, her vice.
Hey, more respect with my puppy. But it's so tiny next to that.
Have you tied flies on his vice yet?
No, I haven't.
He won't let you touch it?
No, He told me that you can tie whenever, but I just didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked intimidating.
Yeah. I'll also say, like, I've seen them in person before, but I don't think I realized, like,
how big it was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That thing's,
it's massive.
Do you feel, I mean, like, do you like that? Do you like how big it is?
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I almost bought one in eBay because it started on, like, $90, the bid. Yeah,
well.
I didn't get it because
She's new to eBay.
Yeah, I didn't know how to do it. Anyways, I'm glad that I didn't because, you know, it's like you see the initial price and you know how much is it new. And it's like, okay, this is a good deal and it's a good vice. But after that, I was like, okay, I'm glad I didn't get it because it's massive and I'm tiny. I think if I sit there, that vice is like over my head almost.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I think it was for the best, you know.
Well, like
I didn't spend the money and.
Renzetti Traveler, or not a Renzetti Traveler, a Dynaking Traveler, that was my first vice that I had. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I didn't really like it. But it's like a smaller version of that vice right there.
I think it, because you like Regal.
I like Regal. I like the clamps because they're super
like the big.
It's super easy to set the hook on, and ever, like they hold, like once it's locked in, it's locked in.
You've never launched any like dry fly hooks at Mach 10 across the room? I've heard some horror stories about that.
If
you don't set it in the jaws just right.
I make sure I set it right. Like, I make sure it's in the jaws. But I also have two different heads for mine. So I have, like a big hook head that has grooves in it for, like, big saltwater hooks. And I have, like, they say it'll go down to 32. I've never tied on a 32.
I don't think I've ever even seen one in person.
A 32?
Yeah.
I've seen a 28.
Yeah. I think I've seen like 26.
So Dynaking says a 30, but I'm never going to tie that small.
Yeah.
But even with like my smaller nymphs and like when I'm tying like 18, 20 midges, I've never had a hook come out. And I can like crank pressure on it too, and it doesn't move. I have the rotary version, which I don't really use rotary features personally. So
I will say.
Oh, really?
I
use rotary a lot.
I flip it upside down. But I don't actually, like, hang it off the bobbin rest and then, like, hold materials and use the rotary feature to place materials.
I don't use the rotary in a traditional sense, but I'll hold on to the handle. And as I'm, like, let's say I'm wrapping, I'll, like, tilt the fly so I can see other angles as I'm wrapping.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah. See, that's what I use
too,
it for.
And, like, I've been watching a lot of videos, and as a dry fly person, that's mostly all I tie. I hear that like the rotation is like special for that, and it's like I don't even use it for that.
Yeah.
Like I wrap my hackles with my hand, I don't use the rotation. Mm-hmm.
Really? Yeah, I love having the rotary like that.
I feel that I should, because it made it faster and easier probably to get like an even space in all the wraps. I should do it, but I don't. I'll start to pay attention to that and try to do it and use it more.
It's so fancy doing it.
Yeah. I've done it. I'll do it with like Palmer chenille. Because it has like a grain to it. Grain's not the right way to say it, but like the fibers all lay one direction.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I don't have to worry about fighting that, I'll spin it real quick. But
yeah.
Otherwise, if I'm like using a dubbing loop and you have to comb it back every time or whatever, like it's just too much of a pain.
Yeah. No, I get that. Well, I'm glad you like your vice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's about time.
I like it too. A lot of big things are happening. It seems like.
Yeah, dude, new vice, new rod.
Yeah.
Right? New backpack?
Maybe.
New raft?
Maybe.
Hey.
New koozie?
Oh,
hell
hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. There's some other things in the pipeline that I don't know if I can necessarily talk about yet. I haven't been given the permission to talk.
Uh-oh,
about.
Now
no,
I'm like,
no. I was just
I'm not the one that has to grant the permission.
Yeah. Wait, what?
No, not that.
What do you know that we don't?
There's some other things coming. I'm not going to talk about it yet, but just keep your eyes out or your ears.
Now I like really want to know.
I know.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. Some other people might think it's cool.
I think it's cool too.
Yeah. But fun stuff.
Sweet.
What about you guys? What's anything exciting happen?
I'm going to go fish next week in Mexico.
You figured out where you're going to go?
Probably.
Are you going to go to that same place we hiked?
No, not this trip. We're doing that over summer.
Okay.
This trip, we're probably just going to go to the Pecos because it's about 45 minutes away from Santa Fe, and we can fish it pretty easily. We already know a few spots to hit. That being said, I am going to go check out Noah's new shop and, poke their brains a little bit and
nice.
See if they have any ideas, you know.
They'll give you some ideas.
They definitely will.
Yeah, they'll share info with you.
Yeah, because
sure.
Last time we fished there, it's like 4 years ago, they didn't have the shop.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see it and actually know some people there, you know, who live in Santa Fe rather than just walking into a random shop.
Yeah.
Which the shop we went into last time were friendly, and they were the ones who actually gave us the idea to go to the Pecos to begin with, but I'm looking forward to actually going and seeing the place.
Yeah.
But we're going to do that. We're going to ski a little bit, or I'm going to ski a little bit. Kendall will not.
Why will she not ski?
She just has some things she just doesn't want to do in life, and that is one of them.
She just has no interest.
Never
so
she
skied
has
or?
No interest in it whatsoever.
I'm on her side.
Yeah. That and climbing. Like, she just has absolutely no interest in doing either.
Climbing is, I like climbing.
Yeah.
Climbing is fun. Skiing,
right. Yeah, but skiing or snowboarding. And I think it's because her parents never did it growing up. You know, they always were, like, beach people. And so, like, my family always went to the mountains.
Does she like the snow?
I want to say she's probably more indifferent about it. Like, you know, like if it snows, she's excited for like a little bit, and then she's like, okay, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
Are y'all camping or no camping?
Not this trip.
Okay.
But when we go in the summer, we are going to camp.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. For right now, we're staying with another couple friends, and we just got a hotel there in Santa Fe.
Well, that'll be cool.
Yes. Yeah, nice. I'm looking forward to it.
Excited to catch what they have. What rainbows over there?
Rainbows, brown.
They do have brown.
Yeah, okay. We will be primarily brown.
Sweet,
oh, nice.
Yeah, and so yeah, we don't get a huge opportunity to catch those.
You're gonna throw streamers?
No. Why not? Probably eggs.
Oh my god! Here we go.
I want to catch fish. I only have like one day to fish. Okay.
I don't judge you. I mean, a little bit, but
I judge you. I judge you.
I'm going.
I'll try everything that I can before I switch to eggs, but
you're probably gonna switch to eggs.
Yeah,
pretty fast.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And like two, I'll give it like 2 hours of other things, and then after 2 hours, I'll be like, I'm just gonna use something that I know I can catch a fish on, and then and then I'll be good. You know.
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
You always gotta have your safety net.
Right.
Everybody has their safety net.
And if it's waters that I only fish once every 4 years, it's going to be an egg.
Yeah.
That's my safety net.
And are you tying flies or not?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not for that. I already have a lot of trout flies since we don't do it that often.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you don't lose that much.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Versus when we went out on Sunday, I lost so many flies. I have no clue why. Probably because I haven't fished in like 3 months. But I lost 6 flies fishing for three palm-sized panfish.
How'd you lose 6 flies?
I don't know. It kept happening.
Throwing them in trees or?
Yeah, trees.
Snagging the bottom.
Snagging the bottom. Sometimes they would just disappear. I wouldn't know where they went.
Nice knots.
I'm pretty sure at least one, I took it out of my bag. I was about to put it on my line, and I grabbed the line with the wrong fingers, and I let go of the fly, and it fell into the water, never to be seen again. And so there's just a lot of different scenarios that happened. All I know is that I caught 3 tiny panfish, and I lost twice as many flies.
Everybody has those days. Everybody has those days.
Well, see, when I used to, like, when I was for a long time, like, I would go to the river, like, trying to catch the biggest panfish I could find, right? I wasn't interested in anything else. Mm-hmm. And I would have to tie, because I would tie reel getters for it. And I would tie, like, 15 of the damn things for one day because I would, like, throw the fly as far back into the trees as I could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just okay, I'm going to catch some fish. So I don't care what I have to do to do it.
Yeah. If you're expecting to lose them, okay. But, like, if you weren't.
Yep.
6 flies is a lot.
When I take people fishing, I always tell them, if you're not losing flies every once in a while, you're not fishing close enough to the bank.
I told myself a lot.
It's true.
Yeah, it's 100% true.
However, we went out, right, and there was a tiny baby cow that was, like, stuck.
Not what I was expecting you to say.
Right. A tiny baby cow that was stuck.
In the river?
So, like, you know, the quad, the banks are, like, right there?
Yeah.
It was on this side of the fence, like, the side between the fence and the river. And we saw no other cows, right? And so then Kendall's mission in life for the next hour was to try to send this cow home or call the other cows to come get the baby.
Was she mooing?
She was mooing.
Awesome.
She was hooting and hollering. She was,
wow.
She was trying to spook it back to its mom.
Did you shake a feed bag? Because that usually gets them running.
No.
Were you carrying a feed bag at least?
No, unfortunately not.
You should start caring.
Now I know.
Kendall will.
From here on out.
She might actually start using that new backpack. Just fill it with some gravel and
take it around a little bit. Come on, cow. No. So, yeah. So, she spent way too much time being upset that the cow was not going home.
Huh.
And then as we're leaving, I'm like, it probably got bit by a snake or something, and they just left it. You know, which was the wrong thing to say. In case anybody was wondering what not to say, that is it.
I could have told you that would have been a bad thing to say.
I was trying to just like be like, hey, it's a lost cause. You know?
Yeah, I don't think. Like,
it's going to die. How about I just put it out of its misery?
Like, you want me to just kill it for you so it can't go home ever
again? Do you want some veal?
I'll just kill it for you.
How do you even say that to her? She was worried.
I don't know. I was like, maybe he just got bit by a snake or something.
Like, it's probably just going to die soon. It'll be fine. It won't suffer much longer.
So.
And you're married? You're married?
I will say.
So dinner wasn't very fun after that.
She was like, you expect me to leave now? I was like, yeah, no.
People that have cows, especially when they're calving, are very on top in checking in and doing counts. And
I did tell her that.
Yeah. That would have been an appropriate thing to say.
Yeah.
Because if there's a missing calf, then ranchers are out looking for it to see what happened. So
I told her, I was like, they're probably coming for it.
Yeah.
I was like, or it could just be like a deer where they just leave it and they come back to it later. It was a tiny calf, like probably like within the last couple of weeks been born.
Yeah.
Is this the start of a feral calf or a feral cow outbreak? Is that what's happening? Like an infestation of feral cows?
Like instead of just like wild hogs, we have wild cows.
Dude, can you imagine being like charged by a wild cow? That would be terrifying.
Did you see that video that was going around the other day of these guys on a skiff that were on the Texas coast? They jumped out because there was a hog running through the flats.
Oh, I feel like I saw that. And they like, and
I did not
it, right?
see this video.
They wrestled
man.
It.
Me neither.
Yeah. Like, and a guy was trying to lasso it with the boat line, you know.
Yeah.
They get close enough where two guys jump out. They literally run, grab it, and like just put it on the deck of the boat. And then it cuts. So I don't know what they did, but.
Yeah, what was their plan?
We know what they did, and it wasn't appropriate for social media.
Yeah, or Kindle.
Some balls. I don't know if I'd want to wrestle one.
No. It wasn't a big one, but still, like, I still wouldn't want to. Even like a tiny one, I don't think I'd want to chase.
I saw a video of a guy who was on today, actually, a boat, and he tapped like a dead tree in the water, and hornets just started swarming him. Oh, and he jumped in the water like almost immediately.
Well, surely he knew that they were there, otherwise, he wouldn't have just randomly tapped.
Like, no, he
might have heard him.
No. The boat tapped him.
Oh, the boat.
Yeah,
oh
he did not intentionally tap them.
That is
what
horrifying.
So he was on his boat, and it tapped the front of the boat just barely tapped a dead tree. It bumped.
It bumped the tree.
And in the tree had a hornet's nest, and the hornet started swarming him and stinging him. So he, like, immediately jumped in the
a
water.
Bee. There were a bunch of bees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Language barrier.
Yeah, basically a bee.
Oh, yeah, not fun.
But worse than a bee.
Yeah.
The red ones. The red bees.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, not fun.
The big ones.
Yeah. The big red ones that are really mean, those bees.
Yeah. The ones that I'm probably allergic to. Yeah. Those ones.
Jeez, no thanks, man. That's horrifying.
Yeah. No. Quick moves, though. It took him all of like 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
After getting stung like twice to jump in the water.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have thought about it. I'd have been like swatting for an hour before I was finally realized what I could do. Jump in the water? Probably not. I don't know. That's my game plan in that situation.
Yeah.
I have a question. Have you guys ever, not on the coast, but in fresh water, and specifically if you're like looking for fish, whether that be like looking for trout rising or looking like across the river, thinking maybe
not
you see a bed, like a bass bed or a carp tail or whatever. Have you ever
considered
carrying
binoculars? I guess
like
it would
binoculars?
Fit perfectly in
so a small pair of binoculars.
I have like a waterproof Yeti backpack.
No?
This is another gadget I don't want to carry.
Well, I'm just thinking like, okay, let's say you're looking for trout rising, okay, or a carp tailing, and you risk, you know, it's like, You risk spooking the fish or, like, alerting them that you're there.
It'd be cool.
So
but
you
know what?
The,
there's that
the
company that makes
further
the
away
and
binocular.
Like,
game plan better.
That,
do you think
like,
it would
they,
be a benefit?
They make them
some
people who, like,
doing that.
Bird watch and stuff. And I bet you could probably use one of those because they're, like, that big, you know? So you could probably do that, and it wouldn't be that much bigger. And
yeah, like, yeah.
Well, but the thing there is that when you see birds, for example, it's very hard to, like, find it. And you have trees, you have references, you know. It's like, I saw that bird in the branch in the top of that tree. But in the water, it's like you put the binoculars and you're looking at the water and you're trying to find the fish. I feel it would be, like, hard to
find. It's spotting.
I think more what I'd be using it for, obviously, is spotting. So I'm like, I'm standing in a spot, and I'm like, man, this bank looks really fishy, and I'm looking for carp, right?
Okay.
I would just scan the bank.
I would get like, one that
from
you
a distance,
pull the riser off,
so I can have, so I can come up with an approach. Like, how do I get to that fish? What's my best route to get over there?
Like, I see,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
polarized lens.
Get to a
yeah,
high point
that
and
is
then kind of view it, and
that's
you can
a
get
good
one
idea
with a wide enough angle or wide enough viewing lens that you could see a chunk of it.
Yeah.
Glass for it.
Yeah. Then you can get binocular tripod and sit up on the bank, and like that way
do
it's
you
still
you,
and you're
I think
not shaking.
Are
you can glass for carp. I don't know.
I feel like that's
yeah, yeah. If we're gonna jump in this, we
yeah,
should go in all
I
the way.
So.
Like we shouldn't half ass it.
That's a good idea,
dude. I'm like,
yeah, it would become.
I am full force. I'm not gonna lie.
Like
I'm really feeling it.
Like it'd be exciting a couple of times, but you wouldn't use it all the time.
Like.
And the other, yeah, and the other thing is that sometimes, and I'm quoting you here, is like if you see a fish eating, you go to it straight away. You don't lose time.
No, I know that. But what if you think you saw one, but the only route there would spook it? You want to verify, like, okay, like, is that a fish that I saw or is that a leaf blowing in the wind? I don't know. Anyway.
You could?
Yeah.
I you're right. I did
you need a
that
bino harness too?
Yeah.
Little chest pack,
maybe, dude. I'm gonna be like there's certain people in this area that other people poke at a little bit because of how hardcore they go with. I'm trying not to say too much. Certain aspects of fishing.
Give me
I'm
some
gonna,
examples.
I'm gonna go further.
Who
I'm
goes far?
Binoculars. I can't because
you know who you are.
I don't
you
call
know
this person.
You know
out
who you are if you're listening. I don't know. I don't know who you are, but you know who you are.
I don't know if they get. I don't know if they directly receive these, and it's all humor. It's never. Nobody's being serious. I don't think anyway. But I'm
well,
taking
report
it a step
back
further.
To
I'm
us, give
binoculars
us some updates.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to be...
Then
like,
the question is, do you do it with
I'm
redfish,
be,
too?
Start,
do you take
all of a sudden, I'm
going to
have, like,
redfish
a lot of success. See, now, the coast is more realistic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a more... That's a...
But see, look, this one...
I think it will be easier in the coast.
Well,
because
the
here
coast, then you're looking
you
for birds.
Like,
yeah.
You're looking...
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're doing a lot more. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like
again. I think we're
to
all
connect, so like your
if
phone camera
too much is the line.
Well, then you're using
already there.
That's too much. But the binoculars with the tripod.
But who who draws the line? Right. What?
No.
Davy Crockett carp fished?
No. No.
On the fly.
No, he drew a line in the sand and said, who's going to fight it? Who's going to stay
don't
and
think
fight
those
the
oh. Yes. David Bowie.
Yeah, there's another guy who's a Bowie
I don't
guy
think that's. David isn't David Bowie the musician?
Yeah, no. Jim?
Invented the Bowie knife.
Bowie? Maybe it's Bo Bowie. Jim Bowie?
Is it?
Right.
Jim or James? I don't remember. Jim Bowie? Jim Bowie? It's Jim. It's 100% Jim. It could have been James, though. Jim could be a nickname. James?
Nice.
I think it was James.
James Bowie.
You looking it up?
Ooh.
Jimothy.
So Jim technically is a nickname for either James or Jimothy. So it it could be.
What do you say? You're such a Jimothy?
That's my that favorite insult in traffic.
You're such a Jimothy.
He's so bad.
Yeah.
I would
not. Yes.
Freaking Jimothy. He's Jimothy's. Nobody wants to be a Jimothy.
Like Geralt.
I've never actually met anybody. If your name is Jimothy, I'm sorry. I'm just joking. But I don't think that's a real name. Maybe.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Gerald. Well, Gerald. I know some Geralds. Not Geralds, though.
we're 70 minutes in.
We've talked about a
what
lot.
What else? Felt like we had a lot to
that,
talk
that
about.
That would be what it is.
Have we?
It is.
Hour and 10.
All right. Well, well, we get that's.
It's not like it is exactly.
We're gonna wean our way to an hour.
Yeah, we're good. Got to cut time back down to an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then once we get rolling,
well,
we
next
would like
time
to,
we'll
know,
probably have a little
know
more.
Hey, next week it's gonna be
specific
for
conversation
sure
topics.
Huh? So you have a topic ready to go. Okay,
so maybe we should pick our topic now and pick who's.
I got one. And then you're on nymphing for tarpon.
That way oh, so it's life, bad ideas?
It's a theoretical episode. Theoretical. Theory. Like theoretical physics. Like it doesn't make sense,
lot,
but we can explain it. To be fleshed out. We'll show the math on the episode. No, no,
wait,
it was not real at all.
Language barrier?
No, no, it was not real at all.
Yeah, okay, there's no way. It's like impossible. Well,
it would be a feat for
sure. I don't
sure
think it's impossible. You can nymph some Pololo worms.
Oh, nymphing for tarpon?
I mean, yeah, we could talk about bobber nymphing for tarpon, too.
That's true.
Do you think so?
Well, you're. Yeah. I mean, people do that with spinning rods already.
But not with an indicator, so it's a little bit different.
So that's not real. Well, yeah, they, you know, they use corks. You can, like, they can, like, free-line shrimp under a cork. Like, I think they do it in Florida. Yeah. I don't think they, yeah. Just run it, like, under the bridge.
We'll come up with a better idea. Topic idea.
Anyway. Okay. Okay. That sounds good.
What are you waiting on, Zach?
It? Are you going to hit end? Right now?
Look in the description below to find links to our website, online store, YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Discord server, and blog. Please send your podcast questions and inquiries to info@honeyholeangling.com. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. So you got stung enough and you passed out and landed in the water?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably my plan.
Yeah, no.